Welcome to this life-transforming message by Reverend Pascal. Reverend Pascal is a seasoned, anointed minister of the gospel whose teachings on Christian living, church growth, and the work of the ministry have inspired and impacted many ministers and believers. He is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant, cell-based ministry with many branches across South Africa. Through powerful services and spirit-led ministry, countless lives are being transformed, souls are being won, and passionate kingdom workers are being raised for the glory of God. As you listen today, may the Word of God minister life, healing, direction, and transformation to your spirit. May you encounter the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in a fresh and personal way. Be richly blessed as you listen.
It's a theme we've been running with actually for a number of years now. But I think this year, because probably next year we're going to run with a different theme, I really felt, let's reignite that theme again. My Father, my hero. When I say my Father, you say my hero. And when I say my hero, you say my Father. My Father,
my hero.
My hero,
my Father.
A father is a blessing. Hallelujah. A father is what?
A
father is a blessing. The word father comes from the Hebrew word Abba. The Latin word pater. Hallelujah. And I want to take you through a few meanings of that word because we need to know what we are celebrating, isn't it? A father means, number one, we have Abba. Source. 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 So every time you say father, when you say, no. Okay, thank you. Every time you say father, you are saying my source, where I came from. Do you get it? Proverbs 22 verse 23, the Bible says, listen to your father. Wow. Okay. Please get it. I think we missed it somewhere there. Listen to your father. Without him, you will not exist. Matthew 23, verse 22. Just check it for me. Praise the Lord. While they are getting that, let me talk to you. Okay, there you go. 23, verse 22. That's right. It says, listen to your father. Without him, you would not exist. Father is source. Without your father, you would not exist. So, as I've been saying over the years, a father is not an old man. A father is not an aged man. As you will notice, I know a young boy here in Itumeleng. He's a father now. I think he's in grade 9. He's in grade 9, I believe. Grade 9 or grade 10. But he has fathered. Can you imagine? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not a father because you have a gray hair. You are not a father because you have a beard. You are a father, listen, you are a father because you cause either something or someone to exist. Every time you cause something to exist, we say you have fathered the thing. You've just heard my introduction. They were calling me the father of Allah Babichu. The person who founded, the person God used to cause this church to exist. We've called Nelson Mandela the father of the nation. Because the new South Africa, as we know it, to have it the way we have it, he played a very major part. Well, not only him, but he was the key figure. A father causes something to exist. Now, it is true that truly your father caused you to exist. Even if you look at it from the side of the science, I hope you realize that for you to exist, you need two chromosomes. Now, women carry one same type of chromosomes. All women here, you are XX. Now you know. Tell your neighbor, now you know. Now. It's XX. All women. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Whether you are fighting for women's rights or you're not fighting for women's rights. XX. That's how it is. Praise the Lord. So every time you see a woman only has the same. A woman is always XX. Do you understand? However, a man is different. Okay. With a man, is X and Y. So woman is XX, man is XY. So when a man and a woman come together, the woman releases a thing, the man releases his thing. The woman's thing is always XX, XX, XX. When a man releases his, if his is X, his is always XY, right? So when it comes, when his Y comes and meets your woman X, then you get a boy. When, if this time he rather release his X, then his X will meet the woman's X. And then you get a girl. No, clap. You didn't know that. I'm sure you didn't know that. Just clap properly. You didn't know. You didn't know what I just said. Your gender is determined by your dad. Your daddy. Your dad. I know you love your mother more than your dad. But you are a woman because of daddy. You are a man because of daddy. Everything about you, daddy determined it. Clap for all the daddies that are around. Do you get it? A daddy is a source. The Bible says, without him, you will not exist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why we honor them, because they pioneer things. Without a daddy, you cannot have a family. A family will not exist without a daddy. A church will not exist without a daddy. Sometimes a mommy. There are also mommies that pioneer things. Praise God. Some companies, in fact, every company that you know has a founder. That founder is the father of that company. Steve Jobs is the founder and father of Apple. You can never change that in a million years. He might have died, but he remains the father of Apple. I don't know who is the father of Amapiano, but there's somebody who founded Amapiano. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we have biological fathers. You have fathers in the Lord. You have spiritual fathers. You have founding fathers. You have fathers-in-laws. You have stepfathers. Hallelujah. You have substitute fathers. And then you even have fathers in sin. Fathers in sin. A father in sin, he teaches you to drink. He teaches you to smoke. He teaches you to lie. He teaches you to sleep with women. He teaches you. He shows you how to do it. As a father in sin. As a father. Listen to me. If there's a guy who is teaching you to do bad things, He is not your friend. He is what? Daddy Aho. Says your father. That's your father. He's your father. He's fathering you into uselessness. And I'm also sorry to say that people here, they don't have fathers in sin. They are the fathers in sin that are. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Look at the person next to you. Is he a father in sin? What's happening? Let's go quickly. Let's go quickly. Apart from a father being a source, a father is also a sustainer. That's why we have a problem in South Africa. I'm going to talk about it just now. But you will see, when a father is not there, things are not sustained. Things fall apart when you don't have a father in the place. A father is graced by God to sustain things, to keep them going, to keep them moving. That's what a father does. He sustains things. He pushes them. He gets them moving. Genesis 27 verse 37. The Bible says, Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you. I have made all his relatives his servants. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Isaac was telling Esau that I have sustained Jacob. And when you look around, you can see that Jacob is sustained. Why? Because Esau has disappeared from the face of the earth. I mean, so when you look today, it's as if Isaac only had one son. But Isaac had two sons. He had Jacob and Esau. But Jacob stole the blessing. Do you get it? And Isaac was telling his other son Esau that I have already sustained this guy. And look around today. You see Jacob. You see Israel. You don't see Esau. Nowhere. People that joke with fathers will be forgotten. I can assure you, a father sustains you. He sustains. That's why the Bible says, honor your father. Why? So that you shall live long. A father, there's something about a father that causes you to be sustained in whatever you are doing. And when you dishonor a father, you cut your life short. You cut anything you are doing short. I sustain him. Keep him going. Sustain him. As I'm teaching, listen carefully. Because I'm telling you what a father does. And I'm also telling fathers what they're supposed to do. Yeah. A father is a sustainer. First of all, a father is a source. Then two, a father is a sustainer. So I pray that fathers will use their gifts well to sustain things with your words. Speak words over your children. Speak words over their businesses. Speak words over their studies. Don't be a quiet father. Also, don't joke with your father. He sustains you. He sustains you. One word your father will speak can carry you for many, many years. I assure you. I mean, Isaac was blind, couldn't even see, but he spoke words that have sustained Jacob today. Until today, we know about Jacob. Even the day before yesterday, I was driving around Zinyaville, and I saw a truck. Do you know what was written on the truck? I was shocked. He said that this guy that hired their trucks to carry stuff around. So you maybe sometimes can say like Jason and company, you know, stuff like that. This guy named his truck Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I said, what? His truck, a big truck. What is the name? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Esau is not mentioned. Esau is not mentioned in that thing. Number three, a father is a provider. A father is a provider. Now, in today's world, a father is not the only provider. I understand. But let's look at things etymologically, where they are coming from. If you put a man and a woman, who will you expect to bring maybe mangoes and all of those things? The man. You will expect the man to bring the grocery and the woman to take the grocery and turn it into a meal. You will expect the man to provide a house and the woman will turn the house into a home. That's what she's supposed to do. So a man's job, you provide a house. A woman's job is to turn it into a home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Or you are looking at the water? He's disturbing us. Most of the time, I don't even drink that water. Can you imagine? But I thank you, sir. I thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Provider. Listen, 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. When you don't provide, you are worse. You are worse. And there's a gangrene in our land today where men just sit around. They eat. And they talk. Women work. Let me not tackle that issue at this service because it's not for that. But I just want to remind us as men and as fathers, we got to provide for school fees. We got to provide for that grocery. We got to provide for the atmosphere in the house. Many, many things that our job is to do. Praise God. Number four, a father is a protector. A father has to protect. Am I communicating to you? I'm explaining what is that word father. What does it mean? That these are the meaning that are coming from the word father. Source. Sustainer. Provider. Protector. A father protects. If you look at even in the animal world. Amen. That is, a father doesn't just hunt, he also protects his pride. As I'm teaching, observe if it's happening. Or where we can correct a bit small. It's not to attack anybody, just to say, maybe we can correct here small. Maybe you are doing well here, but maybe here you have laid down the ball. Genesis 7:7, a protector. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his wives and his sons' wives entered the ark and escaped the waters of the flood. Who built the ark? Noah built something. And from what Noah built, his family escaped. A calamity was coming, but Noah had built something that protected his family from a calamity that was coming. Hmm? future fathers of tomorrow. You got to build an ark for your children. That's what a father does. A father protects. You protect. You don't expose those that are with you. You don't expose your wife to your in-laws. You don't expose your husband. I mean, okay, then we talk about fathers. Let's leave women. Today, women are off. Women are off. You don't expose your children. You see, something we fathers do. You go and buy DSTV 900. Yeah, 900, 1,000. DSTV Explorer, like these very high expensive ones. You bring it home and you put it there. And you expose your children to that distraction. You go and buy PlayStation, latest one. Then you expose them to laziness. I'm not criticizing any of us. I'm just showing you areas. When we're talking about protection, today you might not have to fight with guns and all of that. Do you understand? But how do you protect today? The decisions you make. Do you understand? The decisions you make can protect your family or can expose your family. May you make decisions that will protect your family, not make decisions that will expose your family. Make good decisions that will protect your children, protect your wife, protect what you have invested. Protect, protect, protect. My father taught me something. He told me, before you build a house, build a fence first. That's why wherever I built, even here, before we could build here, we built first a fence around, if you notice. Yeah. Because we are good at building, but not good at protecting. Hey! Can I say it again? We are good at building, but we are not good at protecting what we have built. The first step in anything that will sustain, you have to protect it. Fence it. Put security around it. Anywhere where you see people are serious, they first build a fence before they start building. So I can bring you to church. I'm building your spirit, but I'm not protecting you at home. So I buy things that are exposing you to distraction. So I build this side, I destroy this side. I build this side, I destroy this side. Free Wi-Fi. Smartphones. Those are good things, but usually you need to ask yourself, is this the right time for this thing? Sometimes a phone is the worst thing you have given to that child. Okay, let's leave it. I think. Yes. I'm not talking nonsense. Yeah. I remember the day I took my son's iPhone. Very expensive iPhone. I took it. I smack it on the floor. And I took it again. And I smack it on the floor. And I took it the third time. And I smack it on the floor. It broke in pieces. But I waited for him to sleep. I don't know what he could have done if he could see me break his phone like that. So I let him sleep first. Then I took the phone. I smacked it 3 times. It broke in pieces. Then I collected the pieces. I put in the plastic. When he woke up in the morning, I said, my son, here's your phone. And I told him, this is the best act of love I have demonstrated to you by breaking your phone so I can save your soul. Many demons will leave their house if you could break the phone. I'm not speaking to, am I talking to the right people? I'm saying, if you could take your place as a father and break that phone, okay, don't, maybe don't break the, I don't know what you should. Let me not start saying things here that. What I felt, my son is highly intelligent. I cannot block things in the phone, he will unblock all of them. I cannot, no, that one will not work. I only have one solution. If you hide it, you can find it. Or I can feel sorry one day, say maybe he did something when I felt, my son, take the phone back. I broke it in pieces. Very nice iPhone. I'm not telling you things I don't do. You got to protect your investment. Can I talk to you? Most of us are not aware. These children are the one who will take over from us tomorrow. Most of us are not aware of that. It seems like you're not aware that this child who is always watching TV will be the one who will have to make decisions concerning what you have worked on tomorrow. This child who's always eating, doesn't do nothing in the house, is the one who will have to make decisions about your destiny. I mean, this hard work that you've been putting together, tomorrow he's the one. And you don't want to discipline him. Ah, you love him, huh? You give him anything he asks. Anything he asks, you give. Because you love him. No. There are many things I don't give because I love him. I can afford them, but I don't give them. Because I want my church to understand what is life. That's why I moved and I came to stay in Lidak. I could have stayed anywhere I want. By the grace of God, I could have chosen to stay anywhere I want. But I grew up in a village. My wife grew up in a village. I wanted my son to have an understanding that life is not all in a nice house, in a beautiful place. You gotta understand what is life. You have to understand how life begins. When you are staying in a nice house, you are deceived. You are deceived. You don't know what is life. And that's why you are unable to face it when it comes. So I made a decision. I said, we are moving to Lidak. Let them know how it is to walk on the streets. Let them know how it is to go to a spaza shop. They shouldn't just go to malls. What if tomorrow there are no malls? Am I talking to the right people here today? I pray we always have malls. Life has a way of taking you the road you never plan to go. He has to be ready. He has to know how to take a taxi. Well, I took taxis most of my life. You want to tell me if his car is broken somewhere, he's stuck. He can't hike. Am I talking? Learn to walk. Yeah. Praise God. Five, a father is a teacher. And that is what I was expanding just now. Genesis 18 verse 19. Listen to why God chose Abraham. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he had promised him. One of the fundamental reasons why God chose Abraham, it was so that Abraham can direct his children in the ways of the Lord. direct the children. I'm sorry to say that many parents today are directing their children away from the ways of the Lord, such that when you are even trying to direct a child in the ways of the Lord, the child feels you hate them. The child feels, what are you trying to do? I can't enjoy my life. The job of a father is not easy. Can I tell you something? You cannot be a real father if you're afraid. The job of a father is not easy. Because every time I wake up, I have to ask, did you do your homework? I don't ask, did you eat? Are you enjoying? My mother does that. I ask, why is the room not clean? Why is your bed not done? How long will I tell you to do your bed? I ask the hard questions that the child doesn't like. So chances are the child might not like me. But if I'm into being liked, I will never be a good father. I have to teach the child the right ways. I'm the one who remove the DSTV card from the decoder all the time. I remove it and I hide it. I bring it out on weekends, if I remember. During the week, I remove. Now, it doesn't even work because I kept removing it. I always remove it. So the other day, they tried to make it. It didn't work. So my son told me, "Daddy, see this thing? You keep removing this thing. That's why, that's why it doesn't work again." I'm doing difficult things. That cause the children might not like me. But I'm preserving their destiny. I'm preserving their future. I'm teaching them what to do with their lives. Every morning I wake up before all of them and I wake them up. I wake up the boys first. After the bath, they have to wake up their sisters and also the bath. And I tell them, like, if their mother is not there, I can never allow them to be late at school. I tell them, I'm leaving in 15 minutes. That's it. It is so tough. Can I tell you something? It is so tough that just 3 days ago, one of them forgot to lock the house. Because I was already in the car, he ran and left the house unlocked for fear that I will leave him. I just said 15 minutes, I'm out. And I'm reversing the car. If you are not there, it's your own macabre. I'm gone. Discipline. Say with me, discipline. 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 This generation is undisciplined. They don't wake up on time. They don't bath. They don't do nothing. They don't do nothing. And we start asking ourselves, when they become Yahweh smokers and weed smokers, because there's no discipline. There's no discipline. Are you here? Praise the name of Jesus. Proverbs 3 verse 12. We are almost done. Well, kind of. The Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects his children. A father must correct the child. And when the child corrects the child, do you think the child will enjoy those things initially? I've said many times, if a thief enters a house and says, between your father and your mother, who must I kill? All the children will say, kill daddy. Kill daddy. Kill. Kill daddy, kill daddy. We don't need him, we don't need him. Leave mama. Mama cooks for me. Mama always loves me. Mama always takes care of me. The father's job is to correct. Our job is to correct. We have to correct. We have to correct. We have to correct. They don't like it. But we gotta do what we gotta do. It's my job. It's a difficult job. But when you grow up and you remember the corrections, you say, my daddy was a hero, man. My daddy was a good daddy. He corrected me. He helped me. He helped me. The corrections. The corrections. Yeah. That's how you are built. That's how you are developed. And when you go somewhere, people can see that you were trained. And people can also see that this child is untrained. He enters the house, sits in any chair. He cannot even discern that I shouldn't sit on this chair. He just sits anywhere, goes to the kitchen, starts opening things, eating everywhere. Untrained. Untrained. Because daddy didn't correct. If you are here this morning and you're not enjoying the teaching, you are simply showing me that you didn't have a daddy who corrected you. Maybe this is the first time you are feeling correction coming and you are not enjoying it. But this correction is not to destroy you. It's to build you. It's to turn you into a better man, a better woman. Number six, a father is a priest. These are what fathers are supposed to do. You provide. You sustain. Hallelujah. You protect. But you also correct. But then you are a priest, meaning you pray. A father must pray for the family. Musa, are you hearing? Oh, yes. Job 1:15. Look at the verse. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job will purify his children. He will get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. You see, the children of Job was very rich. So constantly his children were having parties. So they'll have parties and enjoy themselves. After they have a party, Job will say, hey, when these guys were having a party, maybe they got drunk and they cursed God. Maybe they got drunk and they said something bad. Let me go and pray that God will forgive them, that God will wash them. He was not just giving them money, he was also praying for them. Covering the children with prayers. One of my best jobs is to wake up at night, mention my children's name as I pray over them. That's one of my best jobs that I enjoy doing. I mention this one's name. I pray based on the things I know that I see. I pray, I bind devils, I release the potential, I do a lot of things. Father protects through prayer as well. He's a priest. Lastly, a father is a prophet. A father ke profeta. A father is a prophet. It's just that people are not careful to observe their lives.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't listen to their parents, especially their father. Yeah. And I'm about to address a matter that is not very nice. Do you see? That's why even when I said that, the things I'm talking about, fathers, a lot of you can't relate. You can't relate with everything I'm talking about. But before I talk to you about that lack of relationship, let's talk about a prophet. Genesis 49 verse 1. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. A father can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. Bishop Dagwood Mills, my father in the ministry, the day he was born in the UK, in a hospital in the UK. You know that his dad was married to a white woman. He came a bit late. When he got there, Bishop Dag was just lying there. He says, the mother told him that your father took you. When he carried you, he said, he looks like an angel. Then he said, he lifted the child. Then said, Lord, he is yours. If you even want him to be a priest, he is yours. Those were the words of his father the day he was born. Didn't Bishop Dakwa Mill become a priest today? Mm-hmm. When you understand the power God gave a father, you'll be careful around the father. Very, very careful. Now, I was saying that a lot of us can't relate with what I'm saying because of one problem. The big issue of fatherlessness that we have in South Africa. How can I not mention it a bit before we honor the fathers today? Fatherlessness is a big problem. That's why when I say father is this, you don't know what I'm talking about. When I say father, you say, what are you? I know my mother and I know my grandmother. What are you talking about? I don't know which father are you talking about? Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless. So there's a whole group of people that are fatherless, they don't have a father. And in our country, South Africa, this is a big problem. Many homes are fatherless homes. Let me give you a few statistics. About 64.5% of children live without their biological father in South Africa. Let me repeat the percentage. 64.5. That's almost the whole population. I didn't invent these numbers. I researched them. 64.5% of children in South Africa do not know what it is like to be with their biological father in the same house. Only 35.6% of children reside with their biological father in the same house. 35.6%. Can you believe? This is the reality that we are here with. So fatherlessness It's a big problem in our country. You see, we are so used to it, you think it's like that everywhere, but it's not like that everywhere. It's not. It's not. What caused this whole problem? If you don't know the cause of a thing, you might repeat it. You might repeat it. Why are we having fatherless homes in South Africa? More than probably in other countries. Even this Father's Day, why did we choose the theme, "My Father, My Hero"? Because we are trying to restore the position of fathers in this society at our own little level. We are trying to bring it back. You watch around and see how Mother's Days are celebrated. Hey, even hotels are full. Restaurants are full. Everywhere is full. Father's Day can come and pass. You don't even know it was Father's Day. Can we tackle this matter? Number one, we have a historical legacy. Fatherlessness is connected to our history. Unfortunately for us, the apartheid regime was very intentional. Do you understand? That regime was very intentional about deliberately fracturing homes, especially black homes. So your dad will be removed and sent there. This was, like, the family was broken. That's the same thing you have in the U.S. with black slavery. Homes were broken. Today in the U.S., any prison you enter, black people are more than 80% in that prison. Black male. So from history, African homes have been broken. Women have learned to raise children on their own. Dad has to go and work in some plantations, or because of political pressure, he has to run away, like so many things, exiles, mines. The second issue, which is connected to the mines, is the economical pressure. Yes. The economical pressure. The high unemployment is so affecting the lives of South Africans. I mean, African families, that the dad sometimes, for the sake of providing, cannot stay around. Has to go there, or can even live in the same house, but you can never see him. Because he has to work. Let me talk to you about, I'm not trying to come down on this, it's just something I've thought about, and it really touched me. Think about the life of a dad who works for a security company, for example. These are actually my real heroes, these guys. These guys that work for security companies. He starts his shift at sometimes 6. He's going to run from 6 until 6. By the time he knocks home, he's finished. No time to spend with the children. No time to talk to them. Maybe just eat and sleeps. Next day, 6 to 6. After that, it reverses. 6 to 6, night to morning. Think about it. When do you see your children? When do you play with them? When do you even talk to them? Economical pressure. Economical pressure. Some of the manners that we have here in Marikana, they've left home from Eastern Cape. They are here for years. They have to be underground there. All the children can see is the little money. They can't see their father. is how our homes are broken. Through these ways that I'm talking to you about. That. First of all, that legacy of apartheid. Yeah. Then number two, this is this issue of joblessness in our country. Yeah. In certain homes, daddy has to go. Mommy also has to go. So the children are left to themselves to survive. Number three, why do we have homeless houses? I mean fatherless homes. I mean, sorry, fatherless homes. Number three, the issue of lobola. Yes. The issue of lobola. Many families, because of the economical situation, have decided to cash on the lobola. So when you come home and you say, I found a man, they don't see a man. They see an ATM in disguise. Okay, let's correct. Not an ATM. They just see something nice. They see something nice. But here's the problem, guys. Here's our problem. Many of these young men don't have the money. They don't have the money to marry these women. I think let me go and preach in Zambia. These people are not here. I'm telling you, they don't have the money. They don't have it. So sometimes they start sleeping with your daughter. Wait. They start sleeping with your daughter before paying lobola. Then they impregnate her. Now it is more problems. So when he is coming to pay lobola, he has to pay for the damages first. Oh my God. He said, look, before we talk lobola, pay the damages. Pay the damages first. Do you understand? So now, he has two children with your daughter. He has to pay for damages before he can pay for lobola. When he looks at this situation, he realizes this is too much. I cannot afford this. So this is how another family is fatherless. This is how it happens. This is how it happens. Then another girl is having to be a single man. Why? Because of damages and the lobola. Then after that, cultural wedding. Then after that, then white wedding. Then after that, honeymoon. It's too much. No. So the guy just says, you know what? I can't do this. I'll be bankrupt by the time I'm done with this thing. Honeymoon. Then anniversary. It's too much. Tell your neighbor it's too much. It's too much. So many guys, they just come and sleep, leave you with the child, go there, sleep, leave you with the child, go there, sleep, leave you with the child. Because he can't commit anywhere. But even after I've spoken like this, are you listening to me? If you ever come for my daughters tomorrow, you will pay lobola. You will pay lobola. You will pay lobola. Don't even confuse yourself that no, Muruchi, the way you are talking, I know I'm covered. You are not covered. You will pay lobola. Four. teenage pregnancy. This is how our homes are fatherless. This is how children don't have a father. I mean, you are doing grade 10. Now you are having a belly. You are having a baby. And the baby, you are impregnated by your classmate. Do you see that this is going to be another fatherless child? Am I speaking English or what am I saying here? As you are bringing the belle home, there's nobody, that boy, he's not even 18. How is he going to be a father? So this child will be fatherless. Yes. Yes. That's the reality. Are you listening to me? That's the reality. That's the reality. We need to understand these things. How they are made. How they happen. This is how they happen. A young girl goes and falls pregnant. And through that pregnancy, all of a sudden, a boy has to be a dad. He can't. He can't. I will send you to school. Go to school. Study. I say, when we send you to school, study. Go to school. This is how grandmothers have become daddies. Mothers have become daddies. It's because of this situation. Last one. Violence and drunkenness. I know many, I have a lot of young people that are fatherless today because somebody stabbed their father. Yes. Yeah. The father was stabbed or the father was shot. Violence. We've lost a lot of fathers because of violence. Then we've also lost fathers in homes because of the bottle. The bottle has destroyed the home. A father is there, but the father is not there. So, bottle. As I close, I want to quickly. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are certain decisions. When you are already making them, you must see you are already going to create another fatherless home. By these decisions. Or you can make a decision, I want to have a home with a father. So you take another journey. Take another journey. Are you here? So these are the type of fathers that we have in South Africa. Number one, deceased fathers. Yeah, you hear, oh, my father died. My father died. You hear that in South Africa. Deceased. Number two, divorced fathers. Number three, detached fathers. He is alive, but he's absent. He is detached. Are you following? Deceased, divorced, detached. 2 Kings 4, verse 19. The boy said to his father, my head, my head. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. child went to the father. He said, Daddy, my head, my head. The father turned to the servant. Said, take this boy to his mother. Let the mother deal with this. Detached. Detached. Ooh, I hope I'll survive South Africa after this message. Look, can I tell you something? I'm a South African. I'm a South African. I'm a South African. This is my country. I understand this country by the grace of God. Yes. My eyes are open. I can tell us about us. Oh, yes. Detached, detached, detached. Doesn't know what is happening with the child. Doesn't know. Even the daughter is now becoming a woman. He doesn't know that there's nothing. Detached. A father that is detached. Emotionally detached. Spiritually detached. Even financially detached. Financially detached. If it's not for Sasa. Carry him to his mother. No responsibility. Yeah. There are fathers here, before they can do something for their own child, the lawyer must get involved. The police must, I'm telling you, the police must get involved. All kinds of people must get involved before he can do something for his own children. We are coming away from this one. Today we're going to honor fathers. But we remind ourselves, this way of being a father is not the right way. We are not going this way. We are going this way. Number four, disengage fathers. Disengage. He is alive but uninvolved. He is disengaged. First Samuel 3 verse 12 to 13. Look at it. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. Why? I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. He is disengaged. He hasn't disciplined them. And the scripture we use this morning, Proverbs 3 verse 12. Yes. Correct. A father corrects a child. So now this was fathers, like what fathers can do. Now let me show you what we do to fathers. Amen. I'm still talking about fathers. But this is what we can say, no, the father didn't do it. Let me also now show you what type of father we also have in South Africa. Number five, dishonored fathers. Let's be fair. Many fathers leave home sometimes because they are dishonored. Oh, yeah. They are dishonored. Genesis 9 verse 22, what LP was sharing earlier. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and told his brothers. He dishonored his father. Went and revealed his father's nakedness outside. Yes. Luke 15 verse 12. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. When? Oh, nah, no. Oh, nah. Before you die. Before you die. Before you die. Before you die. I want school fees now. I want uniform now. I want this shoe now. I want this bag now. Yeah, I want Jordan. I want a Galaxy Boy t-shirt now. Number six, deceived fathers. Many fathers are deceived. They don't know what's going on in the house. They have no clue what is happening in there. They build the house. But if they knew what's going on there, it's not nice. Genesis 27 verse 6. Are you enjoying the preaching? We are almost done. Rebecca said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me a tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. 8. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Are you listening? A woman hears what the father wants to do and goes behind his back and turns the whole thing around. Women are off today, guys. Yes. Let's jump to verse 30. Verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence. His brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently. Do you see what a woman and a daughter are doing to a father? An old man, he started shaking. He got a stroke immediately. Isaac started shaking violently. Look at what is happening to the man. As a result of deception. Deception. Isaac started shaking. Hey. I think I should stop the preacher. Isaac is shaking. Isaac is shaking violently. And it's not blood pressure. It is mother and son pressure. But the mothers are off, by the way. This is why many homes are fatherless. When a man shakes like that 3 times, he said, I don't want to die here. I will not die here. Let me go. I can't die here. It's too much. You see? Lastly, disobeyed fathers. disobeyed fathers. Many fathers are not obeyed. In our homes. You check it. Are they obeyed? Are they listened to? Matthew 21 verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not." Well, no, wait. He said, "I will not." Can you imagine answering your father like that? Like your father says to you, "Son, go do the dishes." "I will not do anything." "I will not. I will not. I will not." Some fathers and daughters are very quiet in this church, eh? They are quiet. The word is working. "I will not." "Bad." Say with me, "bad." "Bad." "Later." He changed his mind. He changed his mind and went. But in front of his father, "I will not." Later he changed his mind. Maybe he came to his senses and said, "Hey, I don't want to be cursed." So he went. Now, verse 30. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." "Bad." Say with me, "bad." He did not go. Empty promises. Empty promises. That's what we do to our parents. When you want something from him, "Hey, daddy, you know, bring your shoes. I want to clean your shoes. Bring this. Daddy, can I make you tea? I know you like tea with sugar, ne?" Let's learn from Jesus as I close. How can we relate with our fathers better? Number one, we see that Jesus was really loved by his father. This is the last thing I'm showing you. Then we call our fathers and we honor them. And we cannot honor our fathers without knowing how to relate with them. Because we're going to give them something today just to appreciate them. But I believe that the best way to appreciate fathers is by doing what Jesus did with his father. Amen. Here is the father's testimony of his son, Jesus. Matthew 3, verse 17. "And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You know, I'm growing up to realize if a father can make this statement, it's okay. It's okay. If I can say this about my child, "This is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." You should desire to have such a testimony about your father. Yeah. And also about your heavenly father. Amen? Four things Jesus did. He did a lot. But few that can help us also change how to relate with a father. Number one, Jesus obeyed his father. So how do I relate well with my dad? Obey your dad. It is the best gift you can give your dad, you know. Just do what your dad says you should do. Just obey. Obey your dad. Obey your dad. Okay, Pastor Mia, I don't have a dad. God has given you another dad. Yeah. Obey that one. Obey that one. But obey your dad. Nothing blesses a father more than obedience. Luke 22, 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done. Many times, your father will want this, you will want this. But if you really want to relate well with your dad, be like Jesus. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. If you read well, I mean, like, initially he wanted, but when the things started becoming hard, he asked, can we escape? Yeah. But when he knew that the Father actually wants him to go to the cross, he said, you know what? I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to do what you want. This changes everything. The whole dynamic between you and your dad. Once your dad knows, he can count on you to do what he wants, not what you want. You know what we do? You do what your dad wants when he's there. As soon as he turned the back, look at that fool. You reverse all the tables. You do as you please. But I think every dad would be so honored to come and announce and find that things are according to his will. He's obeyed. John 8:29. He who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Why? I always do those things that please him. I always do those things that please him. No, I don't do them when he's there. Eye service to impress him. I always do them, even when he's not there. I do what pleases my dad. I do what pleases my dad. I do what he likes. What a blessing that will be. Number two, honor your father. Honor your father. Number one, obey your father. Number two, honor your father. We are learning from Jesus. John 8 verse 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. I do not have a demon. I honor my father. Brothers and sisters, every time you are dishonoring your dad, you are demonized. There's a demon working. And that the same spirit that was on Lucifer. Lucifer dishonored his creator. And he's been teaching people to dishonor authority. And you know, dishonor, you don't even need to say something. Sometimes just the way you behave. You are asked to do something, you do it at your own time. Dishonor. 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 Dishonor is not just in words. No. It's things you don't even say. But a person can feel you are dishonoring them. You are dishonoring them. You know, a daughter of mine sent me a Happy Father's Day message this morning. It was two lines. I read it. I replied, I said, thank you very much, but I don't accept this message. Send me a long message. I said, thank you, but I said, I don't accept this. I don't think this is fair. And it's not right. That girl sent me a book. Until now, I'm not done reading it. So I realized, actually, she had prepared a long message. But she didn't send it. Because I know how she always sent me messages on my Father's Day. Now she sent me two lines. I said, no, I don't accept this one. Where's my message? This is not my message. I mean, less than 10 minutes, a whole book came. So you see that message was there. But dishonor wanted to enter the heart. Many fathers might not do what I do because I try to teach. Another father will say, okay, thank you. But in his heart, he's feeling hurt. And he will not say it. He will not say it. You have to discern it. You have to discern. I'm dishonoring my dad. 3, trust your father. Trust your father. Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus trusted his father. Trust your father. Bishop Doug was teaching us, even if your father is in jail, still listen to your father. Listen to him. Yeah. It's not about what he did with his life. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
It's about obeying the word of God.
Amen.
It's not about him. It's about you. You are just obeying the word of God. Yeah. I know a lot of fathers might not have behaved very well. But who are we to judge? Who are we to criticize? Trust your father. Trust your father. Trust him. Many times, I can see what you don't see yet. Yeah. So I say to you, do this. Pastor, listen, can you just trust this advice and flow? And flow. Trust your father. Jesus committed his spirit into his father's hands. Commit. Trust your father. I know your father is not Bill Gates. I know your father is not Patrice Motsepe. But your father is your father. Trust him. Trust him. No, I will not do that. Why? My dad says I shouldn't do such things. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Trust your father. I know today, the children of today think they are wiser than their parents. They trust your father. Lastly, glorify your father. Glorify your father. And we are learning again from Jesus. John 17, verse 4. He said to his father, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I think any child here will bring his father glory by passing matric. Or by graduating. Don't you think it should be honoring for the sacrifices that you have put in? Waking up so early, working so hard, and the child finishes school. Don't you think that will glorify your father? As you are planning to drop out, do you see that the thing is going to dishonor the name of your father? I have brought you glory by finishing. Finish. Maybe your dad started building a house, couldn't finish. Don't you think you bring him glory by completing that house? Ah. Or maybe your dad didn't even build, but he bought a land. Don't you think you will bring him glory if you do something on that land? Maybe your dad started building a family, couldn't finish building this family. Either ran away or died or something happened. We don't know. Why can't you decide, I'll complete whatever my dad started here. Make sure it's okay. have brought you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. So Jesus obeyed his father. Jesus, number two, honored his father. Number three, he trusted his father. Number four, he glorified his father. After Jesus did these things, his father said, no, I'm very pleased with you. Now, I'm going to say a few words to the dads. It's unfortunate for us that in the society that we are living in, dads are not taken as seriously as they could have or should have taken, been taken seriously. I mean, we all know if you have an issue with a woman and you are a man, she is more protected than you are because of the history and everything. We understand. But I just want to talk to dads now and say to you, listen, we have a great job that we are doing. Many times people will not clap for us. They will not even see what we are doing. Daddy Lucas, you've been working for years. The days of water world. Other things to keep the family together. You build a home to the family. You did so many things. Many times, if God doesn't open a day like this, where we can also say, Daddy, thank you. Many a times, it is not even happening. We've decided to come together today as a church to say to fathers, you are doing a great job. You are doing a great job. I know it's hard. Being a father is not easy. Yeah. Many times I enter my house, I've been fighting the whole day. But as soon as I enter the house, the little ones are waiting. They want you as if you didn't work. So you enter another work. It's hard. And sometimes the appreciation is not much if the home is not well trained. But I just want you as a dad to know something. God sees your efforts. He sees them. How you are trying to keep the family together. To direct your daughters in the right way. To direct your sons in the right way. God sees it. And we also as a church, we've decided to say, no, we also see how you are trying. And this morning, I decided that I don't want to honor fathers by giving them a one bar chocolate. I'm not doing that today. I'm not giving one bar to fathers today. Because that one bar, they have to go and give it to the Ishman. A father cannot be paid for what he's doing. He can only be appreciated. You cannot pay a father. You can appreciate him. You can honor him. You can obey him. You can trust him. And you can glorify him. So this morning, we want to honor our daddies. I thought of what can I do just to say thank you and make them feel you are doing something. And the Holy Ghost inspired me. You know, when people go to compete, they work very hard. They use physical energy. And at the end, the one that wins, they get honored in front of people. And they place something on them to say, you know what? You've done well. You are doing well. Praise God. But this morning, we felt we're going to honor our dads. The ones that are here. Hallelujah. We're going to honor them. Let's clear. And how are we going to honor them? We're going to decorate them. We're going to decorate them. Let our decoration team come.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and transformed by the powerful Word of God ministered by Reverend Pascal. If you are anywhere around Rustenburg, South Africa, we warmly invite you to fellowship with us at one of the many branches of Alive Bible Church. Join us for our uplifting services every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Friday at 4 p.m. for our prayer services. Stay connected with Alive Bible Church through our social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more inspiring messages and updates. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you.